You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to worship the Lord with you. Just a couple things before I look into the word of God. We are starting Alpha this week. So this coming Wednesday, we're going to kickstart our Alpha course. Alpha is an amazing grace of God that God would bless the world with this tool where we get to ask the questions about life, meaning, purpose, faith. And Alpha is all about introducing Jesus to those that we love. And so can I encourage you, if you... exploring the Christian faith, trying to figure out this Jesus. I would love for you to be at Alpha. There's going to be food, and then we're going to watch a short video, and we're going to ask questions, lots of questions. Ask all the questions on your mind. Go for it and try to, you know, figure out this whole journey of life, and maybe, you know, in that whole course, you may encounter Jesus. So that is starting this Wednesday. Sun Life is, if you know of family and friends who love the Lord, or who don't love the Lord, sorry, and you want to introduce them to Jesus, invite them along to Alpha, okay, this Wednesday evening. The second thing I want to encourage you is that we start our Monday learning space tomorrow night. So at Sun Life Church, it's not about just coming here for worship and then we meet in our connect group, but we also want to go deeper in our understanding of God's Word. And so we want to be able to look into the Word of God, understand God through just studying Scripture. And Monday evening right here from 7:30, Brian Chan and his team, they're very smart people. They love the Lord. They know their Bible, and they will actually help us explore God's truth through His Word. So can I encourage you that if you want to go deeper in the Word of God, and I think we're starting the Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings this term here, then Monday Learning Space is for you. Just register via the church app or the info bar and be part of it. So that's happening tomorrow night right here at Sun Life Church. And the last thing I want to say is that we have the most youngest Sun Lifer in the house today. She's only, I think, 5-6 days old. So we want to say congratulations to Lydia and Eli and their family give them a round for welcoming little Clay Greaves into the house. I'm not quite sure. Oh, there's right at the back. If you look at the back there, Eli's holding little Clay there. Oh, that's it. The Lion King right there. And so praise God for His kindness. And I was told, this is amazing, right? I was told during the weeks over the last seven, eight days, we've had 3 births here. Yeah. So over the last week or so, we've had 3 births at Sun Life Church. And then I was told around 5 months before that, we also had like 3 births in a week. There's babies coming out everywhere. Praise God. So whatever you're doing, keep it up. Keep it up. We are growing. You've got my blessing. Keep it up. My name is Bin. If I haven't met you yet, I'm one of the leaders and pastors here. I also want to say something about a facility we have right now happening at Sun Life Church. If English is your second education, using EI during the preaching of God's word. Yeah, so AI there. Did I say EI? Yeah, think of ER probably. And so if you want to have a better, I guess, understanding of what's being said on stage, we've got this facility now. Please see Simon or Jordan, and they can show you how you can access this using your smartphone. Now, I've been told the interpretation is pretty good. It's probably close to 100% accurate. Unless I break out into the preaching of speaking in tongues, then it really confuses AI, all right? But go for it. It'll be a blessing to you. Now, last week, we looked into Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I said to you that this is a very difficult book, and maybe we heard the reading of God's word in chapter 2, and it's a bit confusing. I said last week, if you remember, that the author or the preacher, or more correctly, the Koheleth or the Ecclesiastes, right? So the person that gathers the assembly to teach and preach, he's trying to figure out meanings of life. And he's come to the conclusion that everything under the sun is habel, all right? So it's vanity. It's like a smoke. It's a mist. It's fleeting. It's unsatisfying. It's here today, gone the next. And that's chapter one. Now we get to chapter two. And here the preacher is now going to explore the meaning of life through testing out everyday experiences. All right, so there's three areas that he's going to test. Life's meaning through enjoyment is the first. Life's meaning through employment, and life's meaning through enlightenment. Okay, and that's where we are going today from chapter 2. So this is the best time to get out the church app or open up your Bible into Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to study the Word of God together. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would help me as I teach, expound, expose the beauty of Scripture to your people here. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through your Spirit, that we would leave knowing what life is all about. So would you help me? Would you give me your strength right now? Give me clarity of speech and use me right now, Lord. Help us all to receive your word right now and leave just loving you more and following you better. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So now he's going to try to figure out the meaning of life, and he's going to test it through enjoyment. Now, if the preacher is Solomon, most likely King Solomon, we should know that this particular man has all the wealth in the world, unlimited resources. He could enjoy all the pleasures of this world. So he thought, what I'll do is I'll try to figure out the meaning of life through the pleasures of this world. Look at me in the text, verses 1 to 3. I said in my heart, come now, and I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this was also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. My heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay hold of folly until I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. Go down to verse 10. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. It's very clear, right? You can see it right there in the Word of God. He's going all out. Whatever the eyes desired, he's going for it as if there's no tomorrow, right? And I'm picturing a party with choice food, all the expensive wine, craft beers, single malt Japanese whiskey that the world has to offer, plenty of eating, drinking, watching talented performers, plenty of laughter, and surely this is what life is all about. Food, fun, feasting, Foster's lager, right? This is what it's all about. And that's exactly what the world wants us to think. And that is what the world is telling us today. Life is all about your enjoyment, self-indulgent. I mean, you look at social media, right? You look at social media, and there's always a post of people laughing and enjoying some nice food whilst holding craft beers from Eagle Bay. Is that right? There's always the classic, you know, wine boomerang video, ching, with a hashtag girls night out, a hashtag living life to the full. Because you never ever, listen, you never ever see a post on social media of thongs and eating KFC whilst holding a bottle of water from Coles for $1. Never. Never. Because the world is saying to us is that if you want to make the most of this world, it's all about self-indulgent. It's all about you. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Now listen carefully. I'm not saying that the pleasures of this world is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that enjoying this world is evil. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. If we think the pleasures of this world is lasting and it will give us meaning and purpose, we need to think again. You know, let me explain this. You know, a few years ago, I took my lovely wife, Tran, to a very expensive restaurant in Perth to celebrate our 20th anniversary. So I thought I'd better find an expensive restaurant. It better be fancy, not the Golden Arch one. You know, it had to be very expensive. And it was one of those where it's like 8-course meal and you have no say on what you're eating because they're always changing the menu. You know what I'm talking about? Like the chef decides what you're having that night. And it's like you find yourself eating mushrooms growing in Manjimup and flowers from the wheat belt of WA, and you're eating some fish that you can't pronounce, but it's only found on the coast of Esperance. And it comes out in big plates with small, tiny portions. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's tasty, and I'm thinking, oh, a bit of fish sauce and sliced chili. Oh, that would just, I reckon it would just do it, right? But honestly, after the meal was over, after our great celebration of our 20th anniversary, we're driving home, and tomorrow's another day. Life is back to normal. You got to drop the kids off at school, and you're back at work, and what was a great night didn't even last into the next day. You see, the pleasure of the world is temporary. It will never be lasting. It will give you a bit of satisfaction, but the honest truth is it doesn't really accomplish anything. And the world tells us that you've got to have it. And the preacher here discovered that self-indulgence, the enjoyment of this world, the pleasure of this world, it's what? It's havel. Vanity, fleeting, like a smoke, like a mist, like a breath. It will never fully satisfy you, here for one moment and then gone the next. And we fall into the trap, right? We all, and I fall into this trap as well, that we think to get the most out of this life, it's ticking the box off my bucket list. We all got a bucket list. I've got to travel to the Maldives, and I've got to watch Coldplay live in concert. I've got to eat Penang Musang King durian, and then I'd live life to the full. No, my friends. No, my friends. We experience life to the full because Jesus offers purpose and meaning in life. And that's why Jesus once shared a parable of a man who sold all his possession just to buy that precious pearl or to buy the field with the hidden treasures. Now we see this in Matthew 13. Let me read you Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought it. And what Jesus is saying is this: if you find me, if you belong to my kingdom, you can sell off all your possession. And if you still have me, I'm more than enough. If you still have me, I'll satisfy your soul. I'm all that you need. And that's what life is all about. You know, we can be Christians, right? Following Jesus and not have the pleasures of this world. We have Jesus. He's more than enough. That's why I love C.S. Lewis, a Christian who don't have everything. He says, he who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. You see that? You follow Jesus, you have God, and you may not have the treasures of this world, but you have God. It's just good enough. The enjoyment of this world, friends, it's limited. It doesn't offer everlasting joy. Only Jesus will satisfy the mind, the body, and the soul. And the satisfaction of Jesus is everlasting. Amen? And that's what the preacher says right here. Because I've tried to find purpose and meaning in life through enjoyment, and I've realized it's havel. It's fleeting. It doesn't meet it. So then he says, well, what I'll do now is I'll try to find life's meaning through employment. Because now, through employment, through the labor of my hands, and we see that in verses 4 to 7. Go to the Word of God with me. I made great works I built houses, planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools for which to water the forests of growing trees. I brought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had all great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. You see that? He's testing now life's meaning through his work. He's built amazing homes. He's renovated his palace. He's built pools. He's planted all these fruit trees. He's even established a forest. All right? What we see here, he was very good at what he did. He was very successful. Now look with me in verse 8 and 9. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and providence. I got singers, both men and women, many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. You see, I want you to picture a very successful man who had plenty of money. And this man here was involved with all kinds of works, all kinds of projects, right? And of course, if you have a lot of projects, you need a lot of money because you need a lot of people working for you. Now, we don't have time, but you can go and read 1 Kings chapter 5, and you could see that Solomon at one time had 30,000 people working on various projects. 30,000, that's like Optus Stadium, half of Optus Stadium, with half of the West Coast Eagles fans watching, because they're not watching anymore, like 30,000 people working for him right now. So he's like your Elon Musk. He's like your Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Mark Zuckerberg, the modern-day billionaire entrepreneur who we all dream of becoming, because we think that if we have that type of work, we've made it. I mean, a lot of us, we always have that dream, don't we? We have that dream that, oh, you know what, if I come up with that app that the whole world will want, I'm going to be that millionaire. And I'm going to find meaning. You know, we all think of whatever, you know, if I get that promotion, if I get that pay rise, I'm going to have meaning and purpose in life, and I'm going to be rich. And so this is what the preacher thought. Maybe I can find meaning and purpose through my employment. Well, what do you think his conclusion was? He found out that even his work cannot satisfy the human heart, no matter how successful he was. Look in verse 11. Then I consider all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Now listen, hear me out. Please hear me out. This passage is not telling us that there's no gain to what we do and that we should not work. That's not what the passage is saying. So don't go, yeah, that's right, Pastor. Thank you for the passage. I'm not going to find work. I'm going to be lazy now. I'm going to sit my bum and just get Centrelink money coming in. No, that's not the passage. Listen, you are created in the image of a God who worked. Genesis tells me that God worked hard for 6 days in creating this world. He worked. He rested. So we must find joy and satisfaction in our work. We have to take pride in what we do. We want to be the best worker wherever God placed us in society. We want to work hard. We want to study hard. And we should pursue that career. We are to give it our very best. And we are to work hard with whatever job God has blessed us with. Amen? That's very, very important. But here's the thing. Now listen carefully. If work becomes your everything, your ultimate, and if you think that work will give you meaning and purpose, it's now an idol, right? Idolatry is anything other than God that becomes the center of our existence. When we think that that thing will give us fulfillment and purpose. Only God fulfills us. Only God. Anything that substitute God becomes a counterfeit God, and that's now an idol. And that's wrong. I love Pastor Timothy Keller's definition of idolatry. He says this: what is an idol? It is anything that absorbs your heart, your imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. So listen carefully. If we think that by enrolling into that university course will give us meaning, or landing that ideal job will give us meaning, or getting that promotion will give us meaning, we have to be very careful. Because what happens is this. If you don't get into that course in university, or you don't get that job, or you don't get that promotion, then we feel that life has no meaning. We feel that life has no purpose, and life is hardly worth living. We have to be very careful. Do you understand that? That's why your employment should never define you, my friends. Don't let your profession define you. Let your position in Christ define you. Don't get your identity in what you do. Get your identity in what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Because if our identity is found in what we do, it will not last. Because there's a day that you will retire, or there's a day that you will die, and that's it. But if your identity is found in God, God is eternal, and your identity will be everlasting. We are sons and daughters of God. That's who we are first. We are first brothers and sisters of God. We are family first. Before we are a lawyer, a nurse, or a doctor, or a pastor, or whatever you do for a living, right? We are first and foremost God. That's our identity, not in what we do. And what I love about Sun Life Church, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, is that we do that so well here. That's the grace of God. Keep doing that, Sun Life Church. Keep that up. I love that so much about our church, that your identity is not in what you do, in what Christ has done for you on the cross. Keep that up. I love it how you, as a community, you don't go around parading and boasting in what you do for a living. I love that. I love your humility. Keep doing that, Sun Life Church. I love it how you always boast in the work of Christ. Like, I hear some of you and you're always like, the grace of God has allowed me to do this. The kindness of God has given me this job. You know that your success, you know that what you have is only by the grace of God, and that has humbled you. So I say, well done, and keep doing that, Sun Life Church. Your identity is not in your employment. It's in your Savior. And we know that if it is in our employment, it's not going to last. And that's what the preacher has said. He says, I've tried to figure out the meaning of life through enjoyment. It's vanity. I've tried it through employment. It's also vanity. And so now he decides to find it through enlightenment. And that's living wisely. He thought, well, maybe if I become the smartest person, if I am wise, full of wisdom and knowledge, maybe I can find the meaning of life. Now go with me to verses 12 to 16. So I turn to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after only what has already been done? Then I saw that there is no more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is no more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. So what he's saying right here is that wisdom is actually good. He says the wise are like someone with eyes on his head. He can see. The fools are walking in darkness. So he says, look, wisdom is actually good. Yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart, that is, this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all or have been long forgotten, how the wise dies just like the fool. You see what's going on there? He's saying, it's good to be wise. Wisdom is actually good. I agree. Like, wisdom can help you make better decisions, right? Solve problems, even improve relationships in your family, and it will lead to personal growth. Very, very important. Don't be fool. Be wise. And we see that in the Proverbs a lot, all right? And I praise God that we live in a day and age, right? Today, there's so much information and wisdom out there today. You know that, right? Like today, all the information is on the palm of your hands, right? Like the world of AI is so scary. Like right now, AI is interpreting what I'm saying, you know? And I read somewhere that AI will, you know, will solve a lot of today's problem. AI can solve climate changes and even healthcare, you know, poverty and hunger. AI can even solve public safety and social justice and solve the most difficult maths problems, right? Like, AI is crazy. Like, right now, you can probably hop on AI and check if I'm theologically correct with my exposition of chapter 2. You can probably do that, you know? But here's the thing. Wisdom and knowledge is still very limited. I'll show you why. Go back to verse 14. Look what he says. The wise person has his eyes on his head, but the fools walk in darkness. Now look, the second part of verse 14. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. You see that? What event is he referring? Right here. He's saying that the wise and the fool, guess what? They're going to face the same event. Now look in verse 16. Go there with me. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. You see that? He's saying this. If you're smart, if you're foolish, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you're all going to what? Die. And no one's going to remember you. That's what he's saying. Pretty sad, eh? He goes, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how smart you are, you're all going to die. So the preacher says, that's it. Doesn't really matter how smart you are or how wise you are or how much knowledge you have, how many letters behind your name, PhD or MBA or grad dip or ABC or DEF. It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter how wise you are, how much knowledge you have, it will not solve the problem of death. We're all going to die one day, and in a generation or two, guess what? We're all forgotten. That's what he's saying right here. And I think sometimes we get so caught up thinking that, well, I've got to pursue this, I've got to have this, and I'll have meaning and I'll have purpose. Well, he says, well, guess what? None of that will solve the problem of death. We're all going to die. Whether it's enlightenment, enjoyment, employment, at the end of the day, it's all gone. What a tough chapter. Now look how he ends this. Now look how he ends in verse 24 and 27. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give it to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. You see what he's saying? Listen carefully. This is the conclusion. He says that life without God, enjoyment without God, employment without God, enlightenment without God, everything in this world without God, it is all chasing wind. Vanity. Habel. God has to be the center of everything we do. Otherwise, our labor is in vain. Doesn't matter how smart you are or how foolish you are, you bring God into the equation and there's purpose. Otherwise, everything we do will be in vain. The Apostle Paul, he once says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. You see that? If you want to make everything count in this world, has to have the Lord. You've got to include God. If you include God, then you know that everything you do will find purpose and meaning. That's why Jesus, he once says this in Mark 8, 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see that? What he's saying is, what's the point chasing after the things of this world? What's the point? What's the point chasing after all those degrees and having all those letters behind your name? What's the point? What's the point having all the possessions of this world and having the top job and enjoying the pleasure of this world? What's the point if you can have all that but not have God? It's that. So don't lose your soul in pursuing the things of this world. Have God. Love God. Honor God. Trust God. Include God in your life. Enjoyment is good, but without God, it is vanity. Employment is good, but without God, it is vanity. Enlightenment is good, but without God, it is vanity. We are created to have God in our existence. Every one of us here, in our hearts, we have this God-shaped void. There's a shape of God in our heart, and we need God to fill that shape. Don't let enjoyment try to squeeze into that shape. Don't let employment or enlightenment try to squeeze into that shape. That shape there is the shape of God. And until we learn to let God find his place in our heart, you're going to be frustrated like the preacher. Because if you read that chapter carefully, and I didn't mention it, he says, I hate life. I hate life, he says that. I don't like it. I tell you right now, we are going to be frustrated if we're trying to squeeze enjoyment or employment or enlightenment into a shape of God here. Only God fits in here. That's why Blaise Pascal, French philosopher, he says this, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created things, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus. You know why sometimes we're frustrated with life? Because you're trying to fit enjoyment into that God shape void in your heart, and it ain't working. And you're going, this is a waste of time, and you're frustrated. Or you're trying to fit through your work or your career or your wisdom or trying to obtain all these degrees and whatever it is. It frustrates you. And you're going to realize that, wow, I don't like life. I hate life. And maybe for some of us here, that's you right now. Because on the outside, on social media, it looks like you're having the time of your life, enjoying the pleasure of the world. You got the best job, and you're smart, and you're wise. And people look at you and they go, yeah, this guy, this girl, they have it all. But you're frustrated. Because you go, it's just habal, meaningless. You know why? Because the void in your heart is in the shape of God. Not enjoyment, not employment, not enrichment, God. So when you begin to surrender and let God take his rightful place in your heart, wow, enjoyment plus God, there's purpose. Employment plus God, there's purpose. Enlightenment plus God, there's purpose. And I guarantee you, then you enjoy life and then you find meaning and purpose. God offers himself to us in the man Jesus Christ to fulfill whatever is empty in your heart. And for some, he wants to do it today. He wants to take his rightful place in your heart today to take away the frustration that you may be experiencing in this life. Are you frustrated? Well, God is here. He wants to fill that void. With all eyes closed, let me create a moment so that we can surrender and invite him into that place to fill that void right now. Don't live a frustrated life, my friends. Live a life of purpose and meaning. But know it must include God, and He must fill that void in your heart. So all eyes closed. If that's anyone here today that you want me to pray for you so that God will fill that void in your heart so that now there is meaning and purpose in your existence, I would love to pray for you. It would be my joy and honor. And all you have to do is raise your hands now. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Just keep it up so I can see who I'm praying for. Let's be real with God today. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Just say, yeah, Pastor, include me because I'm getting frustrated. I'm just kind of over this. Thank Jesus. I pray for my brother and sister who says that this morning they want more of you. They need you to fill that void in their heart. They are frustrated with life and they don't want to keep living that life of frustration. They've tried it with enjoyment. They've tried it with employment and also enlightenment, but they've realized nothing is gonna satisfy them apart from you. So Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters to raise their hand right now that you do something in the supernatural right now. Would you bless them? Oh Lord, will you fill their hearts right now? Will this be a life-changing moment that as of this afternoon, Lord, there is just healing, restoration right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for your word. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.